Thank you so much. I invite you to turn your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. We'll not be looking at John 18 this morning, as where we've been, but we're going to go over to Hebrews and talk about holiness. Holiness, preparation for the presence of God. Hebrews chapter, by the way, I failed to mention that Jim did go home after Sunday school. He needed to be home and be with Nancy, so he was here for Sunday school, taught Sunday school, and then headed back home. And so again, another reminder to pray for them. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 12. Hebrews 12, 12. Wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down, and the feeble knees, and the drooping knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be put out of the way, or put out of joint, but let it rather be healed. Follow peace with all men, and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Follow peace with all men. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Then jump over to verse 28, 29. Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably, with reverence and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire. Again, holiness, holiness. Holiness for you, holiness for me, holiness by God's grace. Preparation for the presence of God. Our Father, bless our time in your word this morning. Be our teacher, be our guide, encourage our hearts, rebuke us and convict us where we need it, and bless us, Lord, as well. And your word is a blessing. Your word is light and life, and may we take heed to it and follow it, obey it, and put it into practice, Lord, in our daily lives in a practical way. So thank you for this time now. Bless us, we continue. In Jesus' name, amen. You get back to your room and you put on some decent clothes right now. You're not going to the program looking like that, my mom often would tell me, before we were going to a school program or a church program. How many young people have heard that? Get back to your room and put some decent clothes on. You're not going to go out looking like that. How many husbands have had their wives tell them that? Like, you're really going to wear that? Many times, I confess. You're surely not going looking like that. But if I must be dressed properly and decently to go to certain places on earth, then how must I be dressed to go into the very presence of our holy, righteous, all-consuming God? How must we be dressed for that? How must I be dressed for the presence of God? Can I go like I am? Does God say, come as you are? Well, he says, come to the cross as you are, but not come into the very presence of God as you are. I must be holy, because nothing defiled may enter in. And by nature, my natural condition is defiled. I am totally stained with sin. We use the word depravity, man's depravity. I am totally depraved apart from the cleansing blood of Jesus Christ. And in order to be prepared for the very presence of God, I must be holy. I have to be dressed, spiritually dressed in holiness. Because without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. I need to be dressed in white, because white speaks of purity, spotlessness, holiness. And without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. The only appropriate clothing for the presence of God is white. Pure, unadulterated white. Look at Revelation chapter 3. and verses 4 and 5. God writes to the lukewarm church in Laodicea in Revelation 3 and verse 4. Thou hast a few names, even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before the angels. Look at Revelation 7 and verse 9. Revelation 7, 9. After this, John says, I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and peoples and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands. Again, they're dressed in white. It's white, white, white. In verse 14, these are they which came out of great tribulation, and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. How in the world can blood make something white? When it's the blood of Jesus Christ, it purifies. It makes us white, and we become whiter than snow. We read in the Mount of Transfiguration in Matthew 17, verse 2, when Jesus was transfigured before his disciples, we read that he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became white as light. His clothes became white as light. Like snow, such as in Mark's version, Mark 9, 3, his clothes became white as like snow, such as no launderer on earth can white them. You can't get them any whiter in a laundromat, is what he's saying here. So this needs to be made very, very clear. We need to get this. No one, absolutely no one, not you, not me, not the Pope, not the preacher, not anyone's going to be allowed into the presence of God or into heaven unless he is dressed properly, unless he is dressed in white. It ain't going to happen any other way. And no one can be dressed in the pure, spotless robe of white unless he is holy. He has got to be holy. Which brings us face to face again with the word which comes from God's mouth, saying, without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. Holiness means separation, means being separated from sin. It means being distinct from the world and from worldliness. It means being different, set apart from the world, sacred, distinguished, distinct. It means having the likeness of the Lord Jesus Christ himself in all of his glory and holiness. Of course, we cannot be glorious like him until that day when we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is, 1 John 3:1. But it's being like the Lord, having the likeness of the Lord. The temple of the Old Testament was a holy temple because it was set apart. It was different. It was distinct from all other buildings. It was sacred, distinguished, distinct. But just what do these words, without holiness, no one will see the Lord, actually mean? In other words, does our salvation depend upon our ability to reach some level of spiritual holiness to where all of a sudden we're dressed not in white but in a black robe with a rope around it and we go around humming all the time, being pretty much worthless to anyone and everyone? No, that's not what we're talking about. Is there some way that a man can make himself white enough to enter into God's presence? Can I do that? Well, first of all, we need to realize that we can never deserve or earn salvation by our personal holiness. my personal holiness is not going to get me into heaven. We read in Isaiah 64, 6, but we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, and we do all fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away. Our sins, our wickedness carries us away from God like the wind carries a leaf away. And our righteous deeds in God's sight are filthy. They're filthy rags. Again, that's Isaiah 64, 6. Jeremiah 13, 23 asks this question. Jeremiah 13, 23, can the Ethiopian change his skin? Can the Ethiopian change the color of his skin? Can the leopard change his spots? They may also, then may you also do good that are accustomed to evil. If a leopard can get rid of his black spots, then you can get rid of your sin on your own. Can a leopard get rid of his spots? No. Can't do it. He's never been able to do it. Except those maybe who took a bath in bleach or something and got bleached out. But our very best works are stained and polluted with sin. It's absolutely impossible for you and me to be holy enough to be saved. As impossible as a leopard trying to get rid of his spots. You know, you've seen those leopards doing that, scrubbing and scrubbing and scrubbing, and they just get so frustrated, they can't get rid of those spots, and neither can you get rid of your sin on your own. Our only hope of being made clean and holy is by the obedience and righteousness and the death of Jesus Christ. We read in Romans 5:9, for as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. As by one man, Adam, all of us, many of us, meaning all of us, were made sinners. By the obedience of one, the Lord Jesus Christ, were made righteous. You can turn to Hebrews. Turn to Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 5. As you're turning there, I'm going to read 1 Peter 3:18. Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. Christ suffered to bring you and me to God. And we read in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 5, wherefore he, when he cometh in the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldst not. In other words, God didn't desire sacrifice and offering, but a body hast thou prepared me, the body of Jesus Christ, the Lamb that died for the sins of the world. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast had no pleasure. Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book, and is written, to do thy will, O God. And above, when he saith, sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings and offering for sin, thou wouldst not, neither hadst pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. And then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. And he takes away the first, the old covenant, that he may establish the second, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. How beautiful is that? Once. One offering. One sacrifice. We're not going to have a service today where you all come up and you bring your lamb and you put it on the altar. Oh, we don't have an altar here. But, you know, pretend we have an altar and you kill that lamb in front of the pulpit. And then you take the blood and you cover yourself in the blood. Then you go sit down. We don't do that today. Because Christ is our Lamb, sacrificed in the cross for our sins. Christ came to do the will of the Father, and then the writer said, and by that that offering we have been made holy through the sacrifice and the body of Jesus Christ once for all. We've been made holy. We've been sanctified. We've been set apart to God Yes, even though we are sinners, we're saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. So we see that our holiness before God depends entirely on the work of Jesus Christ for us by God's will. He did it all. He paid it all. I could do nothing, absolutely nothing, to get myself into heaven. Well, other than just believe it all. I just accept it. I believe it. I say yes. I can do that. You can do that. Have you said yes? Have you believed that? That Jesus died for you and that he'll cleanse you of all your sin because of his blood? So we see that our holiness before God depends entirely on the work of Jesus Christ by God's will. He did it all. He paid it all. And all to him I owe. He paid it all. And so all I owe to him. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. Dressed in his righteousness alone, faultless I stand before the throne. I stand before the holy throne of God, faultless, perfect, spotless. How? Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. That's how. You see, the Bible speaks of both a holiness which we have in Christ before God and a holiness which we are to strive after. I am holy and I'm to be holy. Both are true, aren't they? You say, well, I'm holy. It's all done. No, I'm to be holy. If I am holy, I'm to be holy. If I am a husband, I'm to act like a husband. Right? Sort of like that. Maybe that's a poor example. But there are two aspects of holiness. There's what theologians call positional holiness and practical holiness. Positional and practical. My position, my standing in Christ is that of holiness. I am looked upon by Jesus Christ as perfectly holy in him. That's my position. My practice is also to be holiness. My practice. So these two aspects complement one another because our salvation is a salvation to holiness. For God has not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. 1 Thessalonians 4:7. So I am holy, therefore I'm to be holy. My position is holiness. My practice needs to match up with that. Paul wrote to the Corinthians, and I didn't write down the reference. I just wrote down Paul wrote to the Corinthians. To the church of God, and this is probably verse 1 of Corinthians, chapter 1, verse 1, I'm not sure. To the church of God which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in the Lord Jesus Christ, called to be saints. So Paul is writing to them that are sanctified, that is, to them that are been made holy, to them who are called saints, holy ones. Okay? They've been made holy, and they are holy. In other words, we are made holy in Christ, that's our position, that we might be holy, our practice. I'm made holy so I can be holy. And I can be holy. You can be holy. You say, well, I don't know about this holiness. I don't know about living this holy life. It's a must. If you call yourself a believer, you have got to live a holy life. There is no alternative. Are you? He hath chosen us in him, Ephesians 1:4. He hath chosen us in him. He hath chosen us before the foundation of the world that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. He hath chosen us to be holy, that we should be holy. You know, if a baby is born into a king's family, that baby boy is born into a king's family, he becomes heir to the throne and will eventually become king with all the rights and privileges that come with being a king. His position in life is then is that of a king. Of course, we would then expect that as a king, he will be kingly. he will be kingly. That is, he will act and behave as becoming a king. And that which a king, we would expect a king to do, and how a king would live. His position is that of a king, so his practice needs to be kingly. If you've been saved, if you've been born again, you're no less than a child, not of a king, but you're a child of the King of Kings. You are royalty. We are a kingdom of priests unto our God. Or we are kings and priests, we read. I believe that's in 1 Peter 1 and Revelation 1. I'm not sure. My memory doesn't serve me very well all the time. But my holiness is in Christ. I see him risen from the dead and ascended, the great high priest, with holiness unto the Lord written on his forehead. And in him, I am holy to Jehovah. He has my name written on his forehead as well, and he carries my name before the God of heaven. By the blood of Jesus, we are brought nigh to God. And in the great high priest, we are priests. We are holy. We are set apart to worship and serve God. And we who formerly were darkness are now light in the Lord. We who were enemies are now in the love of God. We are in his family. We're children of God, heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ. In Jesus, we are sanctified. As Martin Luther said, my holiness is in heaven. My holiness is in heaven. For my Savior is in heaven, but he's also in me. What is my righteousness? Christ is my righteousness. What is my holiness? My holiness is in heaven, Christ. What is my life? My life is hid with Christ in God, and Christ liveth in me. Colossians 3:3, Galatians 2:20. That's my high, my very high and holy position. It's mine. It's yours now. Take it in. Rest on it. That's my high and holy position. I'm in Christ. It's like my wife tells me almost daily, I'm a saint. She says, I married a saint. Well, she told me that one time, I think. We've been married 39 years, so I'm looking forward to the next 40 when I hear it again. We know all about that. A saint, we're a saint. A saint is a sinner saved by grace. That's what a saint is. So if you were a sinner and now you're saved by grace, you became a saint. That is a holy one, set apart to God. You see, I was a sinner, but I'm washed. I'm sanctified. I'm justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. But now, what about Hebrews 12:14? Hebrews 12:14 says, follow after holiness. Follow after holiness. That's what I'm to do every day. Follow after holiness. Does this refer to the holiness which we have in Christ, our position? No, because the verse is talking about a holiness we're to strive after. We're to pursue and follow after. And without this holiness, no one will see the Lord. In other words, this verse is talking about how I'm to live. It's about my life. God is telling me here that my life, my practice, needs to match my profession. My walk needs to fit with my talk. They go together. My walk, how I live, matches how I talk. And if I talk a good talk about holiness, I'd better be living it. You see, God not only makes us holy before him in Christ, but he calls us to be holy in our daily lives. God is telling us in this verse that we got to take seriously the necessity of practical holiness. Jesus saves us to make us holy in practice, in how I live. not just our position. There must be at least a yearning in our hearts to live a holy life pleasing to God, or we ought to seriously question our so-called faith in Christ, whether it's truly a saving faith, if I don't have a desire to live a holy life that's totally set apart to God. The Bible knows nothing of a conversion without consecration. To go on living in sin is to go contrary to God's purpose in salvation. In other words, salvation is not a fire escape. It's a life. It's a life lived out day after day after day after day, including today, including this afternoon, tonight, tomorrow morning, all day, all week. No one can trust Christ for true salvation unless he trusts him for holiness, because that's what God expects of us in our salvation. Look at Titus 2, verse 11. Titus 2, if you're in Hebrews, just turn to your left a little bit, and you'll be at Titus 2. And Titus 2, 11 says, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us." That grace of God is teaching us to deny ungodliness and worldly lusts and live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. The grace of God teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly lusts and say yes to righteousness and godliness. The same grace that saves us also teaches us to put away wicked living. We don't receive half of God's grace when we get saved. And say, well, I'll get the rest of it when I'm old and ready to die, and I'll get to heaven. If we've truly been saved from sin, then we not only receive forgiveness of our sins, but freedom from sin's dominion. Sin shall not have dominion over you, power over you. This is what James is saying in his passage about faith and works, when he says in James 2:17, faith, if it has not works, is dead, being alone. I dare say some of us have a dead faith. Your faith is alone. You have it in your head, but it's not in your heart. It's not being fleshed out in your daily living. He's simply saying in James 2, verses 14 to 26, that a faith that doesn't result in works, in a holy life, it's a dead faith. It's no better than the faith of demons. The only safe evidence that we are in Christ is a holy life. Then I know. Then I can have assurance if I'm living for Jesus Christ. Look at 1 John chapter 3. I don't know which way you turn. I get all mixed up. 1 John is before Peter. Okay, I remember now. 1 John 3 and verse 2. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. Right now, we are the sons of God. And let not yet appear what we shall be. We don't know. I remember Ken Regeer. When Ken Regeer, he had cancer and he was dying, and he didn't have long to live. And I was visiting with him, and he was kind of nervous about things. And I said, Ken, what are you worried about? You're going to heaven. You're going to heaven. He says, yeah, I know. I know, but I've never been there before. I thought, well, okay, I guess so. And that's, we know not what we shall be. I don't know what it's going to be like, but we know it's going to be wonderful. But we shall be like him. And that's enough to know that. For we shall see him as he is. And every man that has this hope purifies himself, lives a holy life, even as he is pure and holy. Look at Romans 8 and verse 13. Turn back to Romans 8 and verse 13, for if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. We know nothing of holiness, and we can, if we know nothing of holiness, we can flatter ourselves that we are Christians, but we don't have the Holy Spirit dwelling in us if we know nothing of holy living. Peter said in 2 Peter 1, verse 10, wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. God's called you, God's chosen you, wonderful, but you've got to make it sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fail. Or so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Again, 2 Peter 1, verses 10 and 11. If you do these things, make sure you're doing a holy life, doing it. Every one of us who professes to be a Christian should ask himself, is there evidence of holiness in my life? Does my life reveal that I've been made holy? I'm a king. Do I live like one? Do I desire and strive after holiness? Am I bothered by my lack of holiness? Does it grieve? Do I grieve over my failure and seek help from God to be holy? Do I love the Bible? Do I love reading the Word of God? Do I love prayer? Do I love being with God's people? I'd rather be with God's people than with anyone else on the planet. You know, the bottom line is, it is not those who profess to know Christ who are going to enter into heaven, but those whose lives are holy. Those are the ones who are going to enter into the glories of heaven. Those who are separated from sin. You know, even those who do great Christian works will not enter heaven unless they also do the will of God. Remember what Jesus said to the false professors in Matthew 7? He said, not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say unto me, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? In thy name cast out devils, and in thy name cast done many wonderful works. And when Jesus say, then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me. Get out of my sight, you that work iniquity. Matthew 7, 21 to 23. Is he going to say that to you one day? Oh, I pray not. Perish the thought that we would ever hear those words, depart from me. But if we're just professing and not possessing, living the life, we're fooling ourselves. We're stupid. We're absolutely stupid, thinking we're righteous when we're not. It's in the blood of Jesus Christ that I'm made holy. Do you really believe that you can enter into the presence of God looking like you do now? Do you? Does God see the righteousness of Christ in me? Does God see his blood in me? Are you prepared right now to see God? How are you dressed? I have to ask myself that. Lord, help me to be sure. How am I dressed? I'm dressed in white, but am I living in white? I confess I'm not always doing it. Not always like I should. Are you dressed in white or in the filthy rags of your own self-righteousness? Revelation chapter 3, and I want to close with this. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 4 and 5. I believe this is to the church at Sardis. Revelation 3, 4. He says to them, thou hast a few names, even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. He that hath an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Let him hear. Am I listening? Am I looking? Am I longing for his coming and to be ushered in to his presence. That day is coming. Let's be ready for that day. And the best way to be ready is that we live a life of holiness, set apart for him, loving him with all our heart. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for your word this morning. Thank you for this time that we can consider these verses. Lord, these things they're hard for us to live. It's hard for us to live a life that pleases you. And we can't do it, Lord. We just can't do it. We've tried and tried, and we failed and failed and failed again and again. But in Jesus, we can. By your grace, you can. By dwelling in you and fellowshipping with you and trusting in you, we can. You would never command us to live a life or do something that you do not also enable us to do. So be our enabler, be our guide, be our strength, be our God, and may we love you and serve you and honor you, Lord, with all of our heart, soul, strength, and life. Help us, Lord. We are so needy. I pray, Lord, if there be any here this morning that don't know you as Savior, they would come to you as soon as possible. They'd come to you today and give their heart and life to Jesus Christ and be saved. We pray, Lord, you'll help us to confess our sins. If there have been sin in our life, may we put it under the blood of Jesus Christ, knowing if we confess our sins, you are faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We ask you to do your work in our hearts, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's turn to